Yes, folks. Thank you very much, Bob. Here is your home pro, Maurice Cerrone from Ahandy Manshaven, transmitting in the Ahandy Manshaven radio studio on AM 1030, The Voice with trusted local news and talk. It's good to be with you folks today. It's a very excellent day out there. I've had a good time this past week as well as today. Our production engineer today is John Couch, and I appreciate his service, which will be with us for the next hour. So welcome, John. It's good to see you again today. And all the fine service that he provides in the production department of putting on this program for each and every one of you listeners. Ahandy Manshaven is located at 1724 South 6th Avenue. That puts us 6 blocks south of 22nd Street. It's the big yellow building on the west side of the street between 27th and 28th. Our hours of operation are from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Our address physically is 1724 South 6th Avenue. Our phone number at our Tucson location is 520-624-7200. We do have a Green Valley location, which is employed down there by two of our finest people. One is a designer and the other is a installer and sort of a contractor in various aspects of items that are needed in the unincorporated area of Pima County. The Green Valley address is 125 West Calle de las Tiendas, Suite 103 Alpha. If many of the people in that area have been to Manuel's Mexican Food Restaurant, as you walk out of the front door, you look directly to the south, because that's the direction you should be walking, and you can see Ahandy Manshaven showroom. The phone number on location is 520-369-4858. The hours of operation are from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday, one day less than in Tucson. We are closed at various holidays throughout the year, and those are coming up. As you know, we have Memorial Day coming up shortly in the latter part of May, so we will be closed on Memorial Day and then open back up the day after that. So lots of activities are going on at Ahandy Manshaven. We're still working on the high school's individual life skills area. We do repair a lot of cabinets when customers bring them in, cabinet doors or drawer fronts. We just masterfully completed one of them where the door was highly or severely damaged, separated, so on and so forth, but we got the door itself put back together. We did some stain matching as well as some accentuation of some grain structure, and it basically looks like it has never been damaged at all. We can provide you brand new drawer boxes if you need it. We can modify drawer boxes to make them work and fit for you. So anything involving in the construction or the reconstruction of wood components, we have a lot of expertise in various areas of that nature. So keep us in mind when you come down to projects that you may need to have, whether it be in apartment houses or rentals or various other components of where cabinets may be installed in your home, office place, work centers, dens, family rooms, etc. from there. Lots of countertops. As you know, you've heard me talk about it before. We do have our own cutting equipment for the laminate countertops. We basically use the Wilson Art Company at wilsonart.com. We also use the Formica Company, which was the institutor of laminate countertops back in the 1900s, for those of you that have been around that length of time. There are many other front edges available from that standpoint. We have about 12 of them or so, which are called the fully formed front edges, and we can have those produced for you for the type of countertop that you may need. We do template a lot of countertops. We had two more this past week that required us to go on property and actually duplicate the countertop that the customer had in existence or planned on putting a brand new countertop on. It's the same system that is basically used for the mechanical aspect of doing granite or quartz or travertine or other natural stones or engineered products from that standpoint. Our countertops are really priced significantly less than what you would pay for any type of natural stone product that would be available. We can sell to you, market to you, merchandise to you, whatever terms you like to use. A 12-foot countertop that has an integral backsplash, coved, as we say, or mounted right back on the countertop itself, so you don't have to buy a separate piece of material, and that would be for $108 to start off with. If you need any cutting done to that countertop, we can actually prep that countertop for you in various aspects. All straight cuts, that's 90 degrees from front to back, are complimentary. Any mitered cuts may require templating, which is an additional charge for, or if it does not require templating and is on a 45 degree or 22.5, which is the easiest for us to provide, there is an additional charge. And what that really encompasses, or even with a splice type countertop, it requires the cut itself, which is two cuts on both pieces of material as it's joined together, eight bolt holes, four holes on each one of the pieces of material, and the four metal bolts required to hold that countertop together. And all that is for $35. So you could take the top home, and then with your astuteness that you have, you can go ahead and install that yourself. Or if you need some assistance, we can highly recommend several people that can assist you in installing that countertop. It does sound relatively easy. However, there is certain things due to the construction of homes, because every home basically does not conform to the proper angles or the lengths that may require to do various things of that nature. So keep us in mind for laminate countertops. There is a tremendous advantage in a natural or in a laminate countertop versus a natural stone countertop. And that being, you know, whether it's marble or granite or soapstone or travertine or slate, all natural products require sealing, and that means that they have a high porosity, and that is the way that the rock that is mined from the earth gets its coloring and is due to oxidation. And every mineral in the periodic table that we've been interfaced with in high school that has a oxidation color to it, or if it's a non-iron, a non-ferrous piece of material, it will have a corrosion color attached to the oxidation process of the countertop. You know, be that it's marble, granite, soapstone, travertine, or slate, or any other rock that would you like to use from that standpoint. So keep us in mind, laminate is always less expensive. It's antimicrobial. It's non-porous. It doesn't require sealing. Only requires a gentle cleaning with a soft rag. No possibility of the liquefied food products that may be on your countertop protruding directly into the pores and also rotting there, so to speak, and forming mold and algae, of which several of our customers have indicated. And that seems to be the preferred countertop over granite. That's not necessarily the marketing countertop, but that is the preferred countertop for a good sanitation reasons, etc. Looks like we've come upon a time period for our first break. So we're on AM 1030, The Voice, with trusted local news and talk. And John, let's take it away. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I am Maurice with A Handyman's Haven. We're situated in Tucson at 1724 South 6th Avenue, the big yellow building. We have a Green Valley Presidence coming off of Duval Mine Road, a little bit to the southwest. Immediately take the frontage road when you come off the freeway. Head to the second Duval Mine Road and then proceed on down to Calle de las Tiendas. Those of you that are interested in listening to the Jeff Prather Show, which had been coming on at about 4 p.m., I believe, is now going to be directly after our radio show today, starting at 3 a.m. So keep that in mind. If you planned on going someplace, make sure you get it tuned in, either on a live streaming, if you have that capability, or remember there will be podcasts available on the website of KVOI.com. So we've been talking about countertops and various other products. I'd like to share with you an experience that my wife and I had last evening. We had gone to the Oasis Wild Horse Guest Ranch for an introduction, so to speak, participating in the Hoofprints program that was established on behalf of Little Hooves and Big Hearts. And that sounds like a easy type of word to remember from that standpoint, but Little Hooves and Big Hearts is a method of utilizing miniature horses, as an example, to assist in children or seniors that may have some physical or mental characteristics that require some additional working with those individuals in order to bring them out of many of the areas that they may be involved with in order to have a more productive life. And reading from some of its information is available, the Little Hoofs and Big Hearts, Little Hoof stands for the miniature horses. By the way, these are miniature horses. They aren't ponies. They aren't Shetland ponies and so on and so forth. They're actually horses that are only about 34 inches tall. They have to comply to a height restriction in order to be classified in that area. But the Little Hoofs and Big Hearts organization has been helping seniors since its founding in 2007. That's children and seniors with the special needs to obtain a better place in their life for living, both physically and emotionally, through the interaction with the specially trained miniature horses, of which there is a great team at this facility that have been trained educationally as well as physically in working with these horses and the young people and the seniors that are in need of this assistance. Their clients is consistent with the growing body of evidence showing that the equine-assisted therapeutic programs can be a highly effective treatment that's an option for many individuals with physical impairments or cognitive disabilities. Last night, they showed us two videos of various young people that were under their tutelage at the organization, and even one of them spoke so eloquently about the confidence that she now has in life. She looked like a fledgling teenager at this case. I don't quite remember her age, but spoke rather diligently of various aspects of it and what she thought personally of the program. So it's extremely valuable. According to the Institute of Equestrian Therapy, major improvements have been observed with individuals that have cerebral palsy. They may be mentally retarded to a certain extent, autistically, emotionally disturbed. They may have a learning disability that may come from birth or from other types of things that may have occurred, such as stroke and accidents. Equine-assisted therapeutic programs can also be of a great benefit to seniors who may have had the same difficulty throughout their life or may have occurred just recently. These are also seniors that may be confined to nursing homes or assisted living centers or hospices, and especially if they suffer from dementia or the all-too-common feelings of loneliness and dependency because maybe they have no longer relatives that are available that can even come and visit them. These little horses, not only do you have to be on location for their assistance, along with the excellent educated staff, but they can be taken into various locations throughout the city, and they are well trained for their demeanor, that so they can be extremely acceptable from all standpoints, either physiologically or through their mental, the aspects of the horse themselves. So the Little Harsh and Beef Hoofs has various interactive programs, therapeutic-wise, and they may even start out with just petting the animal. They may end up learning how to groom the animal, walking with the animal, driving a cart of some sort, simply observing the minis. In other words, they may be so scared of getting close to an animal, but through the actual observation of the animal itself, can see how docile they are and how concerned the animals are with the children or the seniors that they work with. It's absolutely outstanding, and I can tell you that some of the programs we saw last night, when you got through seeing and witnessing the children in the performance level that they've obtained, it's so gratifying for the parents, which were also there talking about that, as well as it's absolutely a tearjerker seeing the success that is obtained from the equine therapeutic method of working with them. It builds self-confidence and trust, even to such an extent that the children may consider the therapeutic lessons that they go through as part of their home, and treat everybody there from that standpoint. It also fosters stronger connections to the outside world, which, as many of us know, can be very scary at certain time periods, and especially to other people as they interface with them. If you're interested in visiting the facilities, you can give them a call. You can email them through various methods that's available, or you can write them a letter. So the phone number on location, if you have a pencil and paper ready, I'll read it to you, as Charles Heller would say, at the speed of the pen, maybe even a little bit slower. It's 520-896-2820. That's 520-896-2820 is their phone number. Their email address is info, that's I-N-F-O, at, and they've simplified their name to a certain extent. It's just Little Hooves, the proper spelling of little and hooves joined together, .org. They are a 501(c) organization. Their mailing address is a P.O. box number. That's 1712. It's in Oracle, Arizona. The zip code is 85623. So you can give them a call. You can make arrangements. You can talk to the fine people there that are in charge. The lead person in charge is Tammy. You can request her, or another fine person to talk to would be a name of Amy. Excellent people. I've met all those. I've known them for some time. And like I said earlier, it was a fine performance, so to speak. And to top off the entire performance at the end of the evening, which there's approximately 250 people that was at the Wild Horse guest ranch at the Oasis Wild Horse, a fine meal. And there was a country and western singer, which many of you probably know about, Leanne Womack. She was there. She's in her 50s, and just a stunning performance as she was singing some of her great songs from that location. And she is a renowned country western singer. She has had one song that actually crossed over to two charts. One was a country western Billboard chart, as well as the Billboard chart, the Hot 100 Billboard charts, of which she was number 15 with that song. And on the country western chart, she was number one. So excellent performance all the way around. A good place if you like to spend some time assisting in this program. They can surely use a lot of volunteer help from that standpoint, and they can make arrangements for that, as well as if you know anybody that could utilize the experience level and the therapeutic responses that would be obtainable from this type of interaction. Yeah, please give them a call. You'll be well satisfied with everything involved with that program itself. What I'd like to say now is that we're coming upon our second break, and looks like, John, we'll have you take it away, and we'll see you folks after the break on AM 1030, The Voice, with trusted local news and talk. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I guess you could say I studied under a carpenter. His name was not Geppetto, by the way. It was Giuseppe, which is my dad, who has been a carpenter, contractor, furniture maker, remodeler, all these sorts of things. And the number of items that he has made and produced for our family throughout the years is just immense from that standpoint. Tremendous learning experience from my dad and all the things that he's done. And along with my dad and my mother, they've been entrepreneurs all their life that I've ever known them and can remember. Even from the time that they immigrated to the United States and got married, they formed all sorts of business in almost every city that we've been involved with. Anyway, A Handyman's Haven, we're on AM 1030 with The Voice, trusted local news and talk. And last week or so, we did have a phone call in from Charles that indicated he'd like to have me discuss how to measure a kitchen. That's so we can establish the cabinetry that would function the way the customer would like to have. So I'll start on it this week. I may have to finish it up next week, depending on how extensive it is. If you'd like to give us a call here at the studio with various questions, like many listeners have over the past, please do on phone number 520-790-2040. That's 520-790-2040. So the first thing to remember, folks, cabinets go anywhere. So if you come into the store and you say you want kitchen cabinets, you sort of tell me that you want cabinets for your kitchen. If you want bathroom cabinets, then I basically know where they go. But cabinets are cabinets, and they can be installed anywhere that you may need to have some storage facility. One item that we're working on at the present time period, which is rather interesting, we're working with a company out of Tucson, and they've got a contract to provide a storage facility for Edwards Air Force Base, California. Many of you may know that that is where the home of the major dry lake landing bed that we have, where we are initially landing all the shuttles when they were coming back to Earth, and then they were transported on board a 747 all the way back to Cape Canaveral for their next launch. But anyway, we're working on a little storage facility for the Edwards Air Force Base in that area, and which has been quite challenging, not because of the distance involved, but because of the requirements and how to figure out to provide this item for them at an economical price. So remember, cabinets can go anywhere, but we'll take the kitchen today from that standpoint. And to start off with, there's many forms of the kitchen arrangement. One would be just a straight wall where you have the kitchen and all the items on it. That's sometimes known as a galley kitchen. It's a galley kitchen with no sides or no 90-degree walls on the ends of it, of the location where you want your cabinetry. You may have everything along that line. You may have the refrigerator, the dishwasher. You may have the sink, the stove, and all the counter space, the uppers and the lowers associated with it. There are some galley-type kitchens, as we call them, that are basically the same width, that's from left to right, as the one we just described earlier, but it has the 90-degree sidewalls to it, so the cabinets cannot go any farther to the left or right because of these little sidewalls. This is the way a lot of kitchens are designed. Another area that we call is a double galley type kitchen. That's two of these parallel lines, so to speak, opposite of each other. They're just straight lines. There's no other turns or angles of where the cabinets would go in that standpoint. There is a 90-degree kitchen, as we classify it. You come down one wall on the left side as you're facing it, and then it turns 90 degrees to the right side, and that's what we basically call a 90-degree kitchen or an L-shaped kitchen. There's a U-shaped kitchen, and I think almost everybody knows what the U looks like, and so with that in mind, there is a left wall, there's a center wall, and there's a right wall of various lengths. Then there could also be a U-shaped kitchen that may have a peninsula, or actually a galley can have a peninsula also. And then there's also what we call islands that may be associated with the kitchen, and that is just like any island that's out in the middle of the ocean. As an example, it's totally surrounded with walking space, in our case, around this facility, and it could be placed anywhere so desired that it would be appropriate that so we could get the right transportation areas in order to walk around. There's various other criteria for kitchens as far as the designing goes, when we take a look at where the work centers may be, and et cetera. So the other thing that's very important in kitchen is your appliances. A lot of times it's a foregone conclusion that, oh, yes, there'll be a refrigerator, and, oh, yes, we need a stove. You may or may not want a dishwasher, depending upon the size of your kitchen. The good thing about a dishwasher, it does not take up counter space. It's mounted underneath the counter. That's true also of a refrigerator that is a counter height refrigerator. And then, of course, there are refrigerators of various sizes that are available in order to be placed in the kitchen. So all these things are very, very important when you come in and would like to have us design your kitchen. And one of the questions we'll be asking throughout the conversation is, what size of stove do you have? Do you have a cooktop? Is it a freestanding stove? Is it a slide-in stove, a drop-in stove? Are you going to have ovens in a wall, so to speak? Many of you have watched a lot of the cooking shows, and you have seen the chefs involved with that. They have two wall ovens, one wall oven. They may have four wall ovens, two on each wall at diagonals. So lots of things of that nature. Where is the microwave going to go? The size of the microwave is important. So the best thing to do when you come down to our location is bring the model numbers of the appliances that you're going to utilize. If you haven't purchased them yet, try to locate the model numbers of the appliances that you're interested in. Bring them down. We could look up the specs online and figure out where they need to go, how they're going to operate within your kitchen arrangement that you're looking for. Wall ovens, as an example, normally incur that you have a cooktop. A cooktop is nothing more than a place where you put your pots and pans to warm up or cook whatever you like, but there's no oven attached to it. Many of the cook shows that you've probably have seen, they do have wall ovens extensively. I know Emeril has, two sets of wall ovens with four wall ovens total. You can also have your microwave in a wall oven. So all these appliances are important with what you like to have in your kitchen. The wall oven system, along with a cooktop system, actually reduces your countertop availability for your work functions. So as an example, wall ovens normally go into a tower-type cabinet that can either be 84 inches or 90 or 96 inches tall. That's from floor to the height of it. And they are normally in the vicinity of 30 to 33 inches wide. So there goes 30 to 33 inches of your countertop right there. That's going to require a cooktop in order to do your cooking. And the general cooktop for most homes are in the vicinity of 30 to 36 inches. So right away, approximately, we've taken up 6 feet of your counter space in just your ovens and your cooktop where you would cook your put your saucepans on of that nature. So that may work if you have a rather large kitchen. When you decide to maybe shy away from that because you need to have more cooktop space, the regular stoves that most of us use, or sometimes we call them range-ins, be they electric or gas. And by the way, any of the cooktops and ovens can also be gas or electric. But the typical items that we see in most homes is a 30-inch wide, that's left or right again, a stove or range that has the cooking area with you put your saucepans and things of that nature on the top. It could either be glass or it could be the grid work for the heating sources, of which there are several types of heating sources available today. And then it will have the oven underneath it. And today you can also purchase these ovens either with a dual oven or a single oven. We have presently in our home a glass cooktop. It has five burners and a warming area on the top. It's a General Electric type oven or General Electric type range, and it has a dual oven. One is a convection oven, which is a larger oven, and then the other is a regular heating oven that is excellent for small roasts, lots of cooking of cookies and cakes and pies and things of that nature. So you can have a double oven going at the same time as well as cooking on the top. And in this case, you're only using 30 inches of counter space. That's 2.5 feet. So from 6 feet with the double oven arrangement and the cooktop down to 2.5 feet of counter space. So you're basically gaining 3.5 feet of counter space. I mean, and that is extremely valuable if you have a relatively small kitchen from that nature. Keep in mind that the counter space is extremely important. The work areas are important. And so when we're designing your kitchen for you, one of the other things that is most important is measure everything from the back wall. So no matter what type of kitchen we've described earlier, if you start at a corner as an example, and then measure out to the left or right, that would be the overall length to the other wall or where you want your cabinetry to stop. That would be important. If there's a window involved in this type of operation, measure from the corner to where the window starts, measure the width of the window. And when we talk about this, we talk about width. This is a left to right measuring. And you may wonder why we say that, because everybody has different definitions for height, length, width, etc. And here's a funny story that I picked up on the other day. I thought it was pretty interesting. There was a couple workers that needed to get to the top of a flagpole, and they needed to know how high the flagpole was in order to get the appropriate ladder system, which I really questioned to a certain extent, or if they needed to get a ladder lifting mechanism with a little cart on the top that they could protect them. So they called management because they had to measure the height of this the vertical height as an example from this pole in order to accomplish the things that they needed to do. And out comes the management person, which is a young lady, and of course, right away, their eyes raised up, and they sort of questioned, you know, what is this young lady coming out here to do? So she requested what they wanted, and they told her what they wanted. We needed to measure the vertical height of this pole because of the work that management's requiring. She says, okay, fine. So she goes back in. She grabs a couple tools. The pole itself is set up to do various types of operations. So she unbolted it. It was strapped in a position by this time period with the ropes as the guidelines. And she lowered the big pole down to the ground and said, okay, guys, go ahead and measure it, and you're on your way. And these two guys looked at one another, and one of them said, you know, I don't believe this. We want to measure the height of this pole, and now she laid it on the ground, and we have the length. And I don't, you know, I want the height. I don't want the length of this operation. So it was all sort of funny as you take a look at when people start utilizing these terms, height, width, length, deep, the depth, etc. So we use the terms down at the store. If you're width, oh, is that your left or right measurement? Is your height, is that from the floor to the top? And if it's deep, is that from the front to the back? Sounds very simple, folks, but boy, the English language and the definition of these things and how everybody interprets them is quite a bit different than you can ever imagine. Anyway, we'll get on with the rest of this program for a period of time. We're completing our third segment on AM 1030 The Voice with trusted local news and talk. And John, have fun. That's right, folks. There's nothing wrong with a hard hat and a hammer. And throw in a saw and a level and a few other things and we'll be all set to go. I'm Maurice Cerrone from A Handyman's Haven, transmitting in the same studio We're on AM 1030, The Voice, with trusted local news and talk. Just a reminder to those of you that may be departing and thinking you may want to come back at 4 o'clock to listen to the Pray the Report. Jeff will be right on after me today. They've changed his time, and so it's good from that standpoint, so keep that in mind. We're talking about measuring of kitchens, so a couple of the other things we need to know is where your plumbing is for your sink. And one of the characteristic things that people tell me is, oh, the sink plumbing is underneath the window. Well, where is the window? Well, that's on the top of the sink. Okay, I need to have some hard measurements. So is your sink centered in the cabinet? Well, yes, it may be, but so where's that located? They said, well, it's over the top of the plumbing. So hard measurements, folks, are what's really important. So keep that in mind. Measure to the drain and let us know from the corner to where your drain is. What's also important is we need to know where your hot and cold water are, the supply lines. What's characteristically is the hot water, as you're looking at the plumbing arrangement underneath your sink, the hot water normally should be on your left. The cold water should be on the right of the drain. The spread is approximately 8 inches. But is that going to be true to form for every home? Absolutely not. We've seen the hot water on the right. We've seen the cold water below the hot water. We've seen both of them on the same side. They've been all over the place. And why that's important is that we like to try to keep the plumbing directly within the sidewalls of the cabinetry. If there's a window involved and you're going to insist on the cabinet to be in the center of the window and you want the sink in the center of the cabinet, we can do that. Just be advised that that becomes a hard restriction that you're requesting, and we may not be able to adjust the width of the cabinets to accomplish some of the things that you may want to accomplish. Dishwashers are rather interesting to a certain extent. They're not like refrigerators and stoves. You're right, the stove heats, the dishwasher washes dishes. The refrigerator cools, the dishwasher washes dishes. But the case of the dishwasher is exposed. The interior case of the dishwasher is exposed, and it does not have a case around it like a refrigerator does or like a stove does. So it requires some special applications depending upon the cabinetry that we need to use. So keep that in mind. We need to know where the gas lines are if you have a gas range. We need to know with the gas range where the 120-volt receptacle is, because all stoves are also driven by a 120 electricity in order to operate all the electronic equipment that is with that stove. If you have a gas stove, we need to know where the gas outlet is. With that in mind, if it's an electric stove, we need to know where the 240 receptacle is, so we can keep these items within the stove composition. When we get involved with the stove, another thing that becomes of a concern is the vent system for your stove, whether you're using a microwave vent system or you're using a standard hood vent system. So that's critically important. I remember a project we had recently that where the microwave and the vent had to be perfectly aligned. It was a rectangular vent system that went into the wall structure, and that became a hard restriction as far as where that stove needed to go. It could not be moved in any location because the microwave had to be centered over the top of the stove. The microwave vent had to be inserted into the rectangular vent operation in the wall, and that became an extremely hard restriction that may require a lot of filters to be used. So all those things are really important when we design your kitchen for you. The refrigerator receptacle, that's highly important. We surely don't want to put the refrigerator in a position where you can't get the extension cord to it. Many refrigerators today have water outlets associated to them, or supply lines, because of the cold water we've requested, as well as the ice maker in there. So we need to know where that is. Does that supply line for the water, is that on the outside surface of the wall, or is that embedded in the wall like many of the plumbing applications are that's very, very important that we keep it in the vicinity of the refrigerator. So all these things are extremely critical. We need to know the height of the ceiling. That's from the floor, as an example. We can't take the ceiling and lay it down on the floor and get the length of it, so we have to confirm with the height of it. So you need to measure from the floor to the bottom of the ceiling, etc. We need to know if you have a soffit up there. That will tell us about how high the cabinets need to be installed as far as the upper cabinets go. So then the next thing is you need to do some self-examination, and that would be, what do you desire to have in your kitchen to make it more efficient? And a lot of times, and I'm not being critical of this statement, but a customer says, well, I want it right back the same way we had it before. Well, you have an opportunity right now to improve the efficiency of your kitchen. So think of it from that standpoint. If you improve the efficiency of a kitchen, then when you walk into the kitchen and work at it, you're going to love to see it. You're going to love to work in it and do whatever you need to do. If it becomes cumbersome because of the way it's been in the past, which is many times the case because of the way kitchens are designed in order to go minimum cost, I'm not saying we're trying to break your budget. No, we're not trying to do that at all. But that is some things to remember. What do you want to have desired in your kitchen? And I can think about garbage and where you're going to place your garbage as an example. We did have a customer some time ago that said, oh, we don't worry about the garbage. We just hang a plastic grocery bag on one of our knobs or on the door if we don't have any knobs, and then we take it out two or three times a day. And I says, really? That's what you do? Yeah, we don't need to have any garbage disposal system anyplace. Or at time periods, we find, oh, yeah, it's going to be right around the corner sitting out here in the aisleway. I says, wouldn't you like to put this away that so you don't see it? You can put it in your pantry as an example if it's close by, or you can put it in an undermount system. You know, there's an ad on this program about your garbage. Where do you store your garbage? Garbage system, again, it's a label. It can also be pet storage. So if you have a lot of pets as an example, and we did this some time ago, customer had four different pets, were on four different diets. I thought that was sort of surprising, but we had to put a four storage system in order to handle the four different foods that these pets required, and it's possible to do that. We have lids available for some of these cans. We have diaper storage systems available that are sealed. So lots of things are important when you're designing your kitchen, especially in organizational equipment. One way to look at organizational equipment is you can go online to a couple websites. One is hardwareresources.com. The other would be revashelf.com. And you can see all the organizational equipment that is available. Most important, how about spice rack systems around a stove? If you like a lot of spices and things of that nature, we can put spice racks. Whether they're in cabinets, we can occupy a 3-inch space and put a spice rack instead of putting a filler in there with a dead area behind it. Your corners, we can liven up your corners for you. We got various aspects of liven up the corners, and we've done some really intriguing things in our area, especially in small kitchens. One of them, I remember that we made a cabinet, a blind corner cabinet, which is not originally designed from the manufacturer to accomplish that. And then we put what was called a half moon pullout system, the bottom tray only, because the plumbing would have been in the way of moving stuff from the dead corner that they had previously out to the front that they could use. So give us the things that you desire about your kitchen, and give us the things that you would like in your kitchen to improve on the efficiency. Bottle storage. A lot of times, depending upon your characteristic of life, you may call it a wine rack system, but we sometimes can call it an olive rack and a olive oil rack and a balsamic a bottle rack, balsamic vinegar rack. So lots of these things are available from that standpoint that become very important. Well, folks, we're coming to the end of the program. If you have any questions on this, please give us a call at the store. And have a pleasant week, and we'll see you next Sunday. Take care.